Are you searching for a deeper understanding of yourself and your place in the world? Do you yearn for more balance, more peace, and purpose in your life? Well, look no further than the Intuitive Revolution Podcast, your trusted source for holistic insights and intuitive guidance. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and I am ready to take you on a journey to inner peace and balanced well-being. Welcome back to the Intuitive Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Alicia Ferricelli, and today I have such a treat for you. A few weeks ago, I was attending a spiritual community church, and Danny Prada was actually the speaker there. His message was so profound that I had to have him on my podcast, so I found him and reached out, and I'm happy to announce that he accepted and we have recorded the podcast, so you're going to get to hear that in just a moment. I'm going to tell you a little about Danny. So Danny Prada founded Heartway out of desire to provide a safe space for people to explore their spirituality and community with others. Danny helps people descend from the heart, mind into the heart, from ego to soul, and from judgment to acceptance. Everyone is their own teacher at Heartway. Danny sees himself simply as a guide, here to connect and help others develop a more heart-centered approach to life, one that is rooted in love, humility, and surrender. Danny holds a BA in Ministry Leadership from Palm Beach Atlantic University, a Master's of Divinity from Southern Seminary, and has completed his Doctorate of Ministry from Fuller Theology Seminary. His doctoral project was aimed at reimagining spiritual community after deconstruction and religious trauma. Danny also serves as a hospital chaplain, providing spiritual care and counseling to patients, families, and staff. I'm so happy to have Danny here today speaking with us. He came over from Unity Church and spoke to you. The church there in St. Petersburg, and his message was so inspiring. I'm just super excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I love that I was able to make this connection with you and a lot of other folks doing similar work there in St. Pete area. So
yeah, a lot of cool things going on in St. Pete. So
absolutely.
So starting off, can you share with me the journey that led you to found Heartway and become a hospital chaplain?
Yeah, well, that is an interesting story. I grew up in a religious home, and it was always a part of my life, you know, going to church and very entrenched in Christianity. Most of my life, it didn't matter much for me. I like to say that I had enough religion just to feel guilty about everything. So that's kind of like how it was, you know. And because I wanted to live my life, I was like, I don't want anything to do with any of this religion, God stuff, church stuff. So I ran away from it all. But in my family, this is like a big thing. Like I have a lot of ministers in my family. And my dad, even though he wasn't a minister, his father was, and he has a lot of siblings that are. So I grew up with, you know, people praying for hours at a time in a room in the same house that I live in, you know, and like a bunch of stories and just, you know, very deeply entrenched in their faith.
Yeah.
So later on in life, those seeds that were planted in my youth kind of began to sprout. And when I was in college, I met a group of young men that were very passionate about their faith. And because I befriended them, I started to go back to my origins, and I started to really dive into the faith that I inherited as a young child. And naturally, that led to me getting very involved in the church that I had grown up in. And I became so passionate about this newfound, you know, spiritual connection.
Yeah.
That I decided to transfer schools and study theology and philosophy. And so that's what I did. And I studied theology and philosophy in conservative evangelical seminary schools. Towards the end of my time there, after I was working on my Master of Divinity, I started asking some questions because the group that I was connected to, in our eyes, we were the only ones that were correct.
Right.
And in my family, I have a lot of diversity in terms of on my father's side, a lot of us are more charismatic and Pentecostal expression mm-hmm. of Christianity. Well, on my mom's side, my family's Catholic.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then here I was in a Southern Baptist bubble. And we were like, those charismatics are crazy. The Catholics are definitely going to hell. We're the only ones that are right. And I'm like, what? Like, wait a second. I know these people, you know, I know their heart. And there's no way that there's going to be like a doctrinal test one day when I die and go before God, as I saw it in that.
Yeah.
And so that really began a questioning process for me, where I started to read outside of the confines of my particular tribe and denomination and group. And there's a reason why back in the day they used to say, don't go down the slippery slope. That's what they would say, you know, hey, don't question certain things, because it's a slippery slope. Well, I slipped and I fell and I went down that slope, and it was quite a ride of expansion. But before the expansion happened, you know, it was a crisis of identity for me, because Christianity, traditional Christianity, was all I knew up to that point. And so my identity was tied to all of these beliefs I had about God and the afterlife and the Bible. And so for the foundation of that to begin to crack and crumble really disoriented me tremendously. And it was out of the desire for community that I decided to start a church, which is, it's odd. It's very odd, because here I am dismantling the whole church religion thing while at the same time recognizing that I have a need for community. Because one of the hardest parts for me about this questioning process was feeling like I was alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to find a couple you know, wild ones on the internet and on social media that I could relate to, and that kind of understood what I was going through. But it's not the same as having flesh and blood, you know, people mm-hmm. that you can see and touch and hug and cry with,
yeah.
You know? So I felt alone, and I started to just be very honest about my process with people. And before you know it, a group of folks started gathering around me. And that's how Heartway got started. And we've come a long way from there, you know, but I'll leave it at that for now.
I love that. You see, a very similar story for me.
Okay.
My background, that's kind of, I think, why I really connected with your story, is my dad's actually, my father is actually a minister in the Church of Christ.
Oh, wow.
And so I was raised that, and kind of went through the debunking, I'll call it myself, of that, or then going into like a Christianity, and then just kind of over the past few years opening up and just realizing there's, to me, and I don't ever condone anyone else's, you know, belief system, because that's true to them and is true to me. So completely going through that and figuring out what I truly believe. And it can be very lonely.
Yes.
It can be extremely lonely. So that is, I love that you created a safe space for people who are on that path, you know, or they found that path, and to not, you know, to kind of get over the judgmental portion, because you're judging yourself going along mm-hmm. the way, wondering mm-hmm. if you're doing the right thing. Am I doing wrong? You're questioning yourself. And that could be, again, a lonely place to be. So yes.
There's one author I like who talks about the fact that there's a loyal soldier within each and every one of us that are coming out of these kind of religious paradigms. And that loyal soldier on the inside is like, no, what are you doing? You're being unfaithful. You know, you're not supposed to go down that road. You're leaving the truth. And yeah. It takes a lot to continue to follow truth wherever it takes you, even when it goes against all that you know. But that was my path led me to the place where I had to make the decision that I would pursue truth no matter where it led me, even if it was far beyond where I started. Interestingly enough, on this journey, it's like I had a starting point, and then I drifted off, And I've kind of noticed like a circular sort of pattern in the sense that I have somewhat come back to my origin, but with a newfound vantage point and perspective and attitude. And yeah. So I've been able to redeem all of the good and beautiful elements of religion and carry that with me into this new expression of faith and spirituality in my life. But it did take me a while to experience what you just talked about in terms of not having to impose my truth on others. Because for a while, when I first started to question things, I felt like I was being lied to. I felt like, you know, the people who taught me these things were bad and wrong, and I needed to correct them.
Yeah.
And so I was combative and argumentative with my truth. And then I finally came to realize, well, you know, that works for people.
It does.
And this is what's working for me.
It does.
Everybody is in their respective stages, and no one is better than anybody else. We just see what we see.
Yeah, it's perspective.
Yes, absolutely. And so that shift within me also marked the shift in the life of Heartway as a spiritual community, because for a while, again, my oppositional energy was very evident in my teachings. Mm-hmm. You know, I did have a bone to pick with religion, and I made it known, you know. Over time, as I matured and began to heal, my approach became way more centered on just self-awareness, self-discovery, inner healing. And that is something that began to really affect the community in a positive way, because we moved into this space where we transcended the polarity and the duality, you know, and we were able to honor everyone's respective paths while also being true to our own. That's a big deal. People, we don't know how to do that. We have to be taught that, or we learn the hard way.
Absolutely. And I feel like especially today in societal, it's so polarized that it's really hard for us to learn to accept other people's opinions, other people's ways of thinking.
Yep.
And just because I think a certain way does not mean that it's true for someone else.
That's right.
And it doesn't. And the best way to get someone to actually come to their own truth is to just let them follow that little path and go their own way.
That's right. And it also was big for me to realize in my life that truth is not about information. Truth is a way of living. Truth is love. And so when you arrive at that place, you actually can make a lot of room for many different beliefs and viewpoints.
Yeah.
And you're able to still find unity and diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the work that we do at Heartway is about living out just that. We have people who are more on the spiritual but not religious side of the spectrum. And we also have people that are still quite ingrained in their Christianity.
Yeah.
We have people that are left-leaning in their politics. We have people that are right-leaning in their politics. And I welcome and embrace that. I welcome and embrace that, because I don't think the world will become a better place because everyone agrees with me. Like if that is our method for making this world a better place, which is, you know, convincing everybody of a viewpoint, good luck. So my thing is, hey, I'm getting out of that game completely.
Yeah.
Let's get in touch with the heart. When you're ready, get in touch with your heart, come talk to me, you know?
Yeah. Because when we all die, politics are not going to matter anyway. You think about it.
No, that's the truth, you know?
I mean, it's the truth whenever we're gone, what's going to be remembered is, you know, our heart and the love and the peace that we give to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've mentioned, again, deconstructing your inherited religious beliefs while remaining a pastor. Can you elaborate on what this process looked like more for you personally and professionally?
Yeah. Well, I do recall getting to a point where I felt like everything was meaningless. Mm. I actually remember that's how far down I went the rabbit hole of skepticism and deconstruction. Yeah. I was watching an interview with a scientist. I forget his name, but it was an interview with Russell Brand. Do you know Russell Brand?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
He did an interview with a scientist, and this dude was contemplating on meaning. And he said, human beings are meaning-making creatures. So meaning is something that we have created. So if there's a planet where there's no humans, is there meaning there? And I was like, huh? Wait, what? You know, that kind of made me start thinking about this question of meaning very deeply. Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, so when humans weren't on this planet, was there meaning? What does it mean to say that this all means something if there's no humans to say that it means anything? Right? Because
yeah, that's a point.
the monkeys aren't thinking that, and the fish, and the dinosaurs weren't thinking about this. They were just being, you know?
Yeah.
Being is the meaning. That's the whole thing, right? But essentially, I really started to contemplate just this whole idea of meaning. And I got to a place where I felt like everything was meaningless, but I was depressed about it. And then something clicked. I was like, wait a second. If everything is meaningless, why am I depressed about it? I'm depressed about it because I'm making the fact that this is meaningless mean something. So then that's when I realized that our mind creates our reality. And the meaning that I attribute to things is what either creates my suffering or creates my bliss. And so everything is meaningless, transformed from a statement that initially I interpreted as being negative, which in turn made me depressed, to a statement that I then began to see as a very positive one. Because if everything is meaningless, okay, if you just track with me in this train of thought, even if it's not yours, but if everything is meaningless, then I can make it mean what I want.
Right.
And when I am making it mean something that feels really icky and bad, maybe that's something that I need to rethink and question, because it actually has no basis in reality. And so from there, I began to build again, you know, but I had to go all the way down, you know, and so I started to build again. But the way I like to describe it for myself is, love is my religion. And love was really the great deconstructor of my faith. I really had a hard time with some of the depictions of God that I was holding on to because of how unloving it made me, you know? So, I just started to prioritize love. And as a result of that, a whole bunch of beliefs just started to fall by the wayside because they weren't contributing to more love in my life and in the world. And I kept it simple like that. So now that's really what I live by. Love is truth. Everything else is an illusion.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. We live by love. We have it figured out. Yeah.
That's right.
So with your experience of both spirituality and academia, how do you see the relationship between traditional religious practices and modern spiritual exploration?
Yeah, so religion can actually be a very helpful tool. That's how I see it. If you go deep enough into any religion, you will find that there is a common stream between them all. Mm-hmm. This is the stream where the mystics and the sages swim. And every religion has them.
Mm-hmm.
Every religion has an immature form. Every religion has a healthy form and an expansive form and a universal form. The mystics, the sages of the various religious traditions of the world, they all speak the same language.
Yes, they do.
They all speak the same language. It's the language of love, the language of stillness, the language of presence, the language of surrender, the language of letting go, the language beyond all language, the language of not knowing, mm-hmm. the language of mystery. So if you go down deep enough, you can come across these voices within every respective religious tradition. And so religion is a vehicle that carries something very precious into the world. The writings of our spiritual ancestors have a lot of value.
Yes.
That's how I see it. The problem becomes when we allow those people to do our thinking for us. And when we don't think for ourselves. So I encourage people to make their faith their own and not just adopt something or believe something because it's what you heard or it's what you were told or it's how you grew up or it's what's normal in your culture or this is just the way that we do it.
Yes.
So every religion has an external form and an internal form. The external form of religion is the doctrines, the belief statements, the scriptures, the rituals, and those things all vary from religion to religion. Radically different.
Mm-hmm.
However, the internal form of religion is about the experience of the divine. And it's at that level where we can find commonality with one another. And so the way one scholar put it, who I really admire, his name is Marcus Borg. He said that religions are like universities or schools. You know, you can learn without school and without the university, but you may be making it a little more difficult on yourself to do that when you have just this institution that can literally help you and guide you on the process.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way, you know, religion is like that. It's like, it's helpful and it can be utilized in a helpful way. So I see religion as being neutral and it's just human beings that either use it in a good way or a bad way, a positive way or a negative way, to help people or to harm people.
Yeah.
The scary part is that people who use religion to harm people actually do it thinking that what they're doing is good. That's where we really have some big problems there, you know? And that can be scary, but nevertheless, you know, it provides a framework and, mm-hmm. and it gives people something to live by, but there are deeper waters to swim in. And I do like the language of spirituality because that's ultimately what it is about mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
You know, religion is the container. Spirituality is what's inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have religion without spirituality, your religion is useless.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have spirituality without religion. You may be missing out, on some things. Or not, but there's ways that religion can enhance your spirituality, surely.
Yeah.
For me, for example, I love meeting weekly with a community. That's yeah. something from religion that I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love that. I also like that religion provides resources. And what helped me kind of come back to religion and own it a little more was seeing all the like spiritual folks do that. And I'm like, wait a second, if they're doing that, then I definitely should do it, especially since I come from this. Yeah. But like one of my favorite spiritual teachers is Eckhart Tolle. And Eckhart, you know, renamed himself that after a Christian mystic by the name of Meister Eckhart.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He was a Christian mystic, Meister Eckhart. And his teachings are incredible teachings, you know?
One of my favorite.
Yeah. Eckhart.
Yeah. He's one. Yeah.
Eckhart Tolle is incredible, but Meister Eckhart, who I'm referring to, this guy's teachings are beautiful, you know. And Eckhart Tolle, here's this modern day spiritual like teacher who is naming himself after this ancient spiritual teacher within the Christian tradition.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much value that can come from religion. And I think religion has a lot to offer in terms of just resources. Like we don't have to just make it all up, and it's okay if we do, but also like we have stuff to look back on. And for me, the fact that humans have been pointing to this truth, this universal truth, long before I got here, it does add extra validity to it for me personally. So I think religion and spirituality can really work hand in hand. I also think this is important to say, there are some dangers that can arise within the world of spirituality without religion that can actually be avoided if we pay attention to the issues that have happened historically in the world of religion. And if we don't pay attention to the good and the bad that has come from the history of religion, it can be very easy to repeat the same things in this spiritual world that does not have religion, which is why if you go on Netflix, like the other day I go on Netflix and I see a documentary on a cult.
Oh, the Twin Heart? Was it the?
Yes, yes.
I couldn't watch it. I watched like half an episode. I was like, I can't do this.
But guess what? If you listen to that, like that documentary, there was another one. I think it was, the name of the group was Nexus or something like that.
I haven't seen that one.
There's an HBO documentary. I'm gonna Google it real quick to find the name. Okay, the HBO documentary is called The Vow.
Okay.
And it's about a cult that was based out of California. And a whole bunch of abuse happening in that. It was a self-help group. But as I was listening to the guy, the leader of this cult speak, I was looking at that and I'm like, I would join that group. I like this. I like what he's talking about. I like what they're doing. Yeah. The language that they're using is very similar language to the language that I use. So here you have a prime example of spirituality gone sideways in the same way as religion, where the words are one thing, but the life is something totally different.
To me, it comes about the heart, as you said, and the control that you're trying to have. Yes. That to me is where religion gets bad, when you're trying to control other people, control, just have a control, when you're trying to control it.
Yes.
And that's to me when it becomes harmful.
Yes, absolutely. So religion has a lot to teach us.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So as your role as a hospital chaplain, you must encounter a wide range of emotional and spiritual states. How do you approach and hold space for such a diverse experiences?
Wow. Yeah. It's one of my favorite things that I do. Very fulfilling work. I don't know how an individual can do this without being grounded in themselves. Being a chaplain, in terms of like being a support system for other people spiritually, it's really about me being rooted in a state of presence and being so anchored within myself that I can make that space for people to say what they need to say, process what they need to process, yell when they need to yell, cry when they need to cry, and hold them in that, knowing that there's nothing wrong, and filling this room with love and compassion and empathy, and allowing that to do the work, and just being with somebody. So I don't like turn on a switch when I get into the hospital, you know. Like, okay, now it's time to be spiritual. Now it's time to be grounded. Now it's time to, you know, listen really well and be empathetic. No. That's not how it works. Yeah. You know, this is my life. This is who I am. And I bring the fullness of who I am into every encounter that I have with people in that setting. And it's so refreshing for me to see the impact that I'm able to have in that way, because I speak a lot, right? Like, I share a lot of words, and the words are, you know, they can be powerful. They can be helpful. People tell me that, you know, hey, wow, your words really made a difference in my life and pointed me in the right direction. But there's something that can be passed without words that is even more special. And when you are connected spiritually and rooted in your beingness, that energy can be felt.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm sharing with people in these crisis moments, because my words, nobody wants to hear nothing. And nobody wants to hear a sermon. Nobody wants to hear a motivational talk. Nobody wants to hear spiritual stuff. You know, maybe actually sometimes they are, and they're open. And if they are, I will say some things that I think could be helpful.
Yeah.
But ultimately, just being with an individual, that has an effect, you know, and being actually fully present and caring, genuinely caring about an individual. And doing that, I mean, there's so much healing power in being understood, being listened to. And that's what I am. I'm a witness. And seeing the impact that has, you know, through my own stillness and silence, just sharing being with another individual, it reminds me that the words aren't everything. They're not even the main thing, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So like when I speak, for me, I used to be so critical of myself after I would share a talk. Oh my gosh, I really wanted to say this and that came out weird and I stuttered or whatever, right? Like, our world and our culture has this standard of what it means to be an effective communicator, right? How it's supposed to look like. And I for some reason, I had that as a metric for myself. And then I realized, no, actually, the deepest influence I have on other people is through the energy.
Yes.
That I bring. And that is communicating something the whole time different than my words. And more important than my words. So that's what I get to experience every day in the hospital setting. And it's really fascinating. I see a lot.
Sounds so rewarding.
It is. People always like ask me, like, how do you do that? I wouldn't be able to do it. It's so hard. You see so much. And I do. Like, it is, it's a lot, you know. But it's so fulfilling that I don't feel like it's a burden.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it just feels right. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And the feeling of usefulness that I have personally from doing this work, I wouldn't choose anything else.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So how do you think the process of deconstructing religious beliefs can contribute to an individual's healing and spiritual growth? We kind of talked a little bit about that, but go into more, little more details of what, For instance, if someone is on the path, there's like, they have some questions. What advice would you give for them?
Follow your curiosity. Curiosity is what saved me from some very limiting paradigms that at one point I thought was everything.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for my curiosity, I would be stuck in such a small little bubble, you know, and as much as it hurts for that bubble to be bursted, like what I came to see outside of that, was worth all of it. It was worth the struggle. It was worth the existential crisis. It was worth me having to deal with identity issues, you know, and the loss that I experienced relationally, because some people didn't understand why I was going in the path that I was going. All of it became so worth it to arrive where I have. And so follow your curiosity, follow truth wherever it takes you. And you don't have to go further than you feel comfortable going. You really don't. But if you're willing to go further than where you're comfortable going, you may be pleasantly surprised with what you find on the other side. There's a teacher by the name of Joseph Campbell. I don't know if you've heard of that name. Mm-hmm. But he says the treasure you seek is in the cave you're afraid to go in.
That's good.
Yeah. And so questioning and deconstructing my religious beliefs was really just the first layer. Because after that, it really became this process of questioning my basic assumptions about myself and other people, questioning my judgments about the circumstances that I find myself in, questioning the interpretations that I give to different things that happen to me in life. And so this process of learning how to question and deconstruct a thought and disidentify myself with a particular way of thinking became so helpful. Religion was, like I said, the beginning, but then I went deeper and deeper into like all the stuff in my unconscious.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like to the point where I'll see somebody and maybe they made a comment to me that felt weird. And I'll start telling myself in my mind, that person must not like me. Or did that person get offended by something that I did? And now all this insecurity and all these thoughts in my mind, right? Yeah. So I started learning how to deconstruct that stuff. Mm-hmm. So when that thought pops up, now I'm like, wait a second, is this true? Or is this a limiting paradigm? And so I'm a skeptic through and through. I think it's important to be skeptical of yourself, though.
Oh, yeah.
Most people, you know, we're skeptical of others, right? We can be skeptical of religion, but we're not skeptical of ourselves. We think we're so right all the time about the way we see the world. And I have learned to question everything that I think and to settle for nothing less than love. That is my metric. And peace. Does this thought contribute to my peace?
Yes.
If it doesn't, it's not useful for me. I have a very flexible conception of what truth is. I see truth as something that's malleable and, quite frankly, very subjective. I mean, you could also talk about it in another way, but sometimes it's helpful to say, hey, this is subjective. Mm-hmm. And so my subjective reality, my experience of life is a result of my subjective viewpoints and perceptions. And so if it's really subjective, then every perspective that I have, you know, can be questioned. And really, the perspectives that are worth keeping, if truth is subjective, are the perceptions that are adding more love, more peace, more joy to my life. So for me, I'm less concerned actually these days with what is true. And I'm more concerned with, is this belief useful or not?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Is this useful or not?
Yeah.
Whether it's true or not depends on how you see it and what vantage point. You know what I mean? So it's like, is this useful for me or not?
Yeah.
And a lot of the junk that my ego offers up to me on a daily basis, because it's just how I've been wired from my youth, a lot of it is not useful at all.
Right. It
keeps me stuck in fear, keeps me small-minded. And listen, I don't have the whole thing figured out. You know, my ego continues to offer me up.
You're human. Exactly. You're going to have ego. You can't get rid of it.
It's there.
It's not going away.
Exactly. It's there. But I know how to set myself free from its grip now.
Yes.
And every time I find myself in a delusion and in a bad dream and in a bad nightmare, by the grace of God, if you want to say, I know how to wake myself up.
I think the most profound freeing moment is when you realize that you are not your ego. You're not these thoughts. That is not who you are. Yes. And once you can separate your mind and your body and your spirit portion of yourself.
Yes.
That's when you become free.
Yes.
That's true freedom.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then the joy of the spiritual life is about learning how to stabilize yourself in that freedom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, the back and forth happens, but if I have, you know, if I have something to say about it, if I'm able to reduce the back and forth and just stay home, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's my practice. It's I continually just come back home to myself over and over and over again. And, you know, from my experience, you can get to a point where you're pretty ratified in that. You know, you're pretty anchored in that.
Yeah.
And then when you have your moments, you have your moments and you learn and you grow and you come back.
Yeah. That's really how you grow and learn, is through these moments. And there's not, like, I even tell clients and people like around, and it's like, it's okay that you have these moments, because that is your learning and growing period and getting you closer and closer and closer.
Yes.
And if you don't have those, what's the point?
That's it. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
There's one teacher by the name of Ram Dass who I really like. Do you know who Ram Dass is?
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Check him out. Really cool. And he passed away recently, a few years ago. But he would tell people, love all, serve all, and remember God. He's like, those are the three teachings that my guru gave to me, you know, and that's what he passes on now to others. And that's always stuck with me, you know, love all, serve all, remember God. In those moments when we are feeling depressed, anxious, sad, you name it, right? It's simply a matter of forgetting. We just forget the truth. We forget who God is. We forget who we are. And we just need to be reminded.
Awesome.
That's it.
I think that's a great ending point. Not to cut this conversation off. I'm just great. Like, that was like amazing.
Great.
Do you have any final thoughts for anyone that's, how do they, you know, obviously your information will be in the show notes for all the, for your, if the people want to attend your church or if they want more information about you and what you're doing, but do you have anything else that you would like to share?
No, that's really it. I thank you for having me on, and It was fun to have this conversation.
I loved it.
I felt like we were just getting started. So
yeah, I could go on forever.
We'll have to reconnect. You know, I love connecting with like-minded folks who are doing similar work in the world. So thank you. It's an honor and privilege. And I'd love to connect with whoever's listening to this. I'm pretty easily accessible. So on Instagram, that's a good place to connect. @D_Prada. @WeAreHeartway, HeartwayChurch.com. On Facebook, you just look up my name, Danny Prada, and let's chat. Let me know that you're here. Would love to build a relationship. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
You got it. You got it.